Hello, this is Robert, the Tech Doctor. Today, this podcast is all about iPhone 5 and iOS 6. As most people know by now, Apple came out with iOS 6 on Wednesday, September 19th, 2012. And 2 days later, on September 21st, the iPhone 5 went on sale. And I'm going to first talk about the iPhone 5 hardware and then get into some of the details about iOS 6. The iPhone 5, in my opinion, is smoking hot awesome. And here are some reasons why I've found it to be that way. First of all, anyone who I've shown the iPhone 5 to has commented on just visually how appealing it is, how beautiful it is. It's got, of course, the glass screen on the front, brushed aluminum back, which makes it feel sort of similar to a MacBook Pro or MacBook Air. You can get it either in black or white, and I understand that each color has its own appeal depending on preference. Obviously, I'm not a good one to speak about color since I don't see it. Blind people were not left out of this appeal, though, because it isn't just visual. When I first held the iPhone in my hand, I immediately realized that it was significantly lighter feeling than the iPhone 4S. And it didn't feel cheap, but it felt elegant. Just perfectly balanced, very nice and light, but very solid. It was the most astounding combination I've experienced from a smartphone. It just really feels good in the hand. It's the same width as the iPhone 4 series, but it's a little bit taller because the screen is a bit larger, allowing for an extra row of icons, making the viewing of web pages and videos and movies more appealing on the iPhone 5. It doesn't change the way the screen works, though. It doesn't change the way it feels with VoiceOver. Still works the same. You just have an extra row of icons to work with. Understand the colors are better on the iPhone 5 and that it's very visually appealing as far as the way the screen displays information. So I think that the iPhone 5 is smoking hot visually and tactilely, but it also is turning out to be a smoking hot performer, outperforming other competitors when it comes to its benchmark testing. This is probably because Apple is using for the first time its own custom A6 chip, which Apple designed specifically for the iPhone 5 and for the iOS 6 operating system. So it's going to run great with all the apps that were designed to work with the iPhone 5 and iOS 6. And I will put a link in the show notes to a site that did some of the performance testing, so you can check that out for yourself. It's also interesting that the iPhone 5 has turned out to hold up very well in drop test, actually performing better when it's dropped in terms of not getting as scratched or not getting as damaged as a lot of the other smartphones, even some of the plastic ones. So Apple has hit on a great combination, it looks like, of elegance and sturdiness. There's twice as much RAM in the iPhone 5 as there was in the 4. And so I think it performs better in terms of working with VoiceOver. I've noticed an improvement in the way that it streams audio in the background while VoiceOver is still running. Some of my apps seem to be working quite a bit better when it comes to streaming. The sound of the iPhone speaker is louder than it was with the iPhone 4. I don't really notice a big difference in the quality of the sound, but I can definitely get more volume out of the iPhone 5 when it comes to listening to podcasts, especially I notice it. I'm really happy with the audio performance of the iPhone 5. I'm finding that my battery life is at least as good on the 5 as it was on the 4S. It may actually be a bit better, but it's at least as good, and that's impressive because there's more going on under the hood with this processor, with these additional pixels on the screen, with the things that have changed in terms of the way the iPhone 5 operates on the cellular network. It now uses a new cellular network called LTE. LTE stands for long-term evolution, and this is a new network that a lot of the major carriers, at least in the U.S., have begun rolling out. Certainly AT&T and Verizon, and I believe Sprint has LTE in some places. It hasn't rolled out, as far as I understand it, too much of an extent in Europe yet, but I'm sure LTE is coming. Interestingly, LTE came to my town with AT&T last April, and the iPhone 5 is the first opportunity that I've had to test it. But I find that the LTE speeds, at least at the university where I work, where I have done some testing, are really fast. The download speed that I'm getting on average is nearly as fast as what I get on Wi-Fi, and that is really impressive. I am certain that it would be easy to chew through a lot of data at these speeds on LTE. So if you have a limited data plan, you might want to pay attention to that. In terms of the actual physical layout of the phone, a lot of it is the same. On the top right, you have the sleep-wake button. On the left, you have the two round volume up and down buttons and the mute switch. They work the same as they did on the iPhone 4. The difference is on the bottom. Now the bottom contains the headphone jack, which was on the top of the iPhone. And that's actually fine with me. The fact that the headphone jack was moved really doesn't make a whole lot of difference to me. When you put the phone in your pocket with headphones plugged in, you have to turn it upside down, which takes a little getting used to. But at the same time, when the phone is in your pocket upside down and you unplug the headphones, you can actually hear the speaker of the phone better. So it's kind of a reasonable way to carry the phone in your pocket anyway. It can be kind of nice when you have both the headphones plugged in and the iPhone plugged into its charger cable, because both are on the bottom now. And so you don't have one on the top and one on the bottom. They're both side by side, which I kind of like. With the iPhone 5, they did change from the traditional 30-pin connector that Apple had been using for the last several years, I think about 10 years really, to an 8-pin connector they call the Lightning connector. It's a proprietary Apple connector about the same size as a micro USB connector. Some people have criticized Apple for not using a micro USB and using their own connector. But I'm personally happy that they went about it this way for a couple of reasons. One, this is a very sturdy, solid connector. When it plugs into the phone, it really fits in there nicely. Unlike a lot of the micro USB connectors that I've seen where they just didn't fit that well into devices, or where they just weren't very well made in terms of how the cable was put together. But Apple's cable with its Lightning connector is very well done. And the second reason is that this cable is really great because it will let you plug the connector in either way, either upside down or right side up. Doesn't matter. That's no longer an issue. It doesn't matter which direction the connector is oriented. It plugs right in. And this is really great for a person who's blind, especially because you don't have to worry about how the cable is oriented. Finally, Apple includes a set of new and improved earbuds in the box. They call them EarPods, and they're a significant improvement over the original earbuds that shipped with the iPhone devices. First of all, rather than being round, they're more ear-shaped, and at least in my ears, they fit much more nicely and comfortably, and I can wear them for longer periods of time without any discomfort. Second, they sound quite a bit better than the original earbuds, at least to me. The bass response is better. The overall sound is better. They're not equivalent to really expensive earphones that you can get, but they're really not bad to be included in the box. I'm quite pleased with the EarPods. They do come in a hard plastic case, and when you take the lid off the case, it actually is removed completely from the other part of the case. I'm not sure how I feel about that. Second thing is that you do have to wrap the wire pretty carefully to get it all to fit back in the case the way they were shipped. And it takes me a minute or two to get the package put back together when I get through listening to them. But as you'll see in a minute, me being the perfectionist that I am, I'm willing to wrap them up just right every time so they fit back in the case. Anyway, I say the EarPods are indeed a significant improvement. I find that the iPhone 5 is a bit snappier, a bit faster with VoiceOver. But at the same time, I will also acknowledge that the iPhone 4S worked very smoothly and very nicely with VoiceOver. I would encourage anyone who has an iPhone 3GS or an iPhone 4 and who is eligible for an upgrade to definitely upgrade. The iPhone 5 is a nicer phone, in my opinion, than either the 3GS or the 4. If you have the iPhone 4S, you may want to consider upgrading, especially if you are eligible for an upgrade, or when you're eligible for one, because the iPhone 5 is great on the LTE network, and because it's just such an elegant, nice feeling, light phone. It's very impressive to hold in your hand, as I said, and so you might want to consider upgrading. I don't know whether I would recommend people paying a fee to get out of a contract if you have to do that to upgrade. The differences are definitely evolutionary. There's no question that my experience with the iPhone 5 shows me that it is a better phone. Is it better enough to pay an additional upgrade fee? That's only a decision that you can make, but I certainly would recommend you test it out. Go and take a look at one. see what you think. I think you'll be so pleasantly surprised when you hold it in your hand that it'll make you want one really badly, whether you're eligible for an upgrade or not. Now, I was thinking for a couple days that my iPhone 5 was absolutely perfect. And then I happened to notice that there was one small chip or scratch or ding on the front of my phone, on the edge, right where the edge of the phone joins the glass, about halfway down. And I checked my wife's brand new iPhone 5, and hers does not have this little ding, this little chip in the finish. And there's only one, and it's not a major thing, but I thought about it for a couple days, and I thought, you know, I really want my iPhone 5 to be as perfect as it possibly can be. So I get AppleCare Plus on all my iOS devices and AppleCare on all of my Apple products. So I called up AppleCare and talked with them about this little defect in the finish of my phone, and they immediately said, oh, no problem, we'll replace it. We'll just simply send you a new one, and when you get it, you send the other one back. So I'm waiting for my replacement to come in, which at the time of this recording should be here within a day or two. And I'm looking forward to swapping out my SIM card, restoring everything from my backup, and being back up and running with my replacement iPhone 5. I can't stress enough the cooperation and the usefulness of having AppleCare Plus. Apple will really work with you, and once again, they came through, no questions asked, very willing to accommodate me and my strive for perfection with my brand new iPhone 5. So I really encourage everyone, when you buy one of these devices, to give serious consideration to purchasing AppleCare. Let me move now into discussing the operating system iOS 6, and I want to begin this discussion by thanking David Woodbridge, who did some excellent podcasts on the new features in iOS 6. And these podcasts are available at www.applevis.com in their podcast section. And David did a whole bunch of them. And I'm actually using his larger iOS 6 feature summary podcast kind of as an outline for talking about the features. And so thank you, David, for doing all this work to put this together. I've decided not to do demos here because David did such a great job of demoing these features with his phone that I just refer you to his podcast for the demos. I see no need to reinvent the wheel because he showed you how these different things work. If it turns out that there are things that I mentioned that you guys would like further demonstration of, feel free to let me know and I'll be happy to provide that in a future podcast. The feature that was probably most talked about prior to the release of iOS 6 was the new Maps feature. And interestingly enough, the new Maps feature has met with a fair amount of controversy from people. I think the satisfaction that you experience with Maps at this stage is largely dependent on where you live. It seems that some places the map data is very, very good, and other places there are errors and problems with the data. In fact, Tim Cook has come out with a public letter to Apple customers saying that Apple apologizes for the problems that people have had with the maps and that Apple will quickly be getting the maps up to speed in the places where they're not. In my particular area, the new Apple Maps seems to work quite well. It's very accessible with VoiceOver. In fact, with VoiceOver turned on, the turn-by-turn directions are announced with the VoiceOver voice. With VoiceOver off, they're announced with the Siri voice. But it's easy to create a route with the maps with VoiceOver, easy to follow the route. You can even run your finger down the screen and VoiceOver will track your progress along the route, telling you what you're virtually passing with your finger and so forth. And this actually works quite well. So accessibility really doesn't seem to be an issue with the maps. I personally think that the press has, as is typical, sort of blown the problems with the maps in some ways out of proportion. I do agree, of course, that Apple needs to quickly fix the data errors and hopefully will quickly add some of the features, such as the transit information that was in the Google Maps that's not there right now. But I'm confident that Apple will do what they need to do to make people much happier with the maps. I do think it's interesting that I've not heard the press mention that Apple decided not to continue with Google Maps because Google was demanding that Apple release customer data to Google so that Google could target Apple customers with advertising and so forth. And I, for one, appreciate the fact that Apple is interested in protecting its customers in that way. So I am confident that we will see significant progress in the maps in the months to come. There have been changes to the way the App Store operates. This includes both the store and the iTunes store. And fortunately, Apple has been working even after the release of iOS 6 to make the App Store and the iTunes Store even more accessible with VoiceOver. And as of the time of this recording, which is on Sunday, September 30th, 2012, I find the App Store to be very accessible. There are some nice new features with the App Store in that, for example, when you download an app now, oftentimes you don't have to enter your Apple ID password if you already logged in. Makes it a lot more convenient. This is especially true if you're updating apps. You still may have to enter it if you're purchasing a new app. At least that's been my experience so far. The other thing is that when you download an app, you are left in the App Store. And when the download is complete, the download button changes to an open button, which lets you open the app that you just downloaded right from the App Store. That's a nice change. The other nice change that has taken place within the App Store is that it's easy now to get descriptions of the updates to the apps just by tapping on a description button. So I'm actually quite pleased with the changes that have been made to the App Store. And by the way, if you decide to download an app and you exit the App Store during the download process, you can go back to where the app is located on your phone and you can hear the download progress being spoken. And when the download is done, the app changes to a status of new. So VoiceOver says the name of the app and the word new. So you know that this is a brand new app that has just been downloaded. So a lot of nice changes there. One thing that you'll notice is that the YouTube app that was on the iPhone 4 and predecessors is now gone. There is a YouTube app available in the App Store that is from Google, and it is accessible as far as I understand it. I have not tried it yet. There's a new feature in iOS 6 called Passbook, which allows you to store information like airline tickets and movie tickets and things like that, and present that information when you get to the theater or to the airport, as opposed to having to keep up with the paper tickets. Passbook is just getting rolled out, and I think we're going to see a lot more done with it in probably the pretty near future, but it is now available for the first time in iOS 6. They have moved some things around in the settings screen. Now in iOS 6, Bluetooth, for example, is located in the main settings screen as opposed to being inside the general settings screen. And this is really quite nice because that means it's easier to get to Bluetooth when you need to turn it on or off, or when you need to pair a Bluetooth device. There have been a lot of updates and changes to Siri's capabilities in iOS 6. Siri can now tell you your location. When I asked Siri to tell me my location, it told me the exact street address that I live on. So that was very nice. You can ask Siri to get you restaurant information now. Where's the nearest Chinese restaurant, for example? You can actually have Siri go out and book you a table at a restaurant now. There's a lot new with Siri and movies. You can get a lot more information about what movies are playing in your area, the times, the dates. You can easily access reviews of the movies. You can access ratings for what people thought about the movies. You can access information about the actors and director and so forth, all talking to Siri to get this information. There's more information about locating the nearest train stations. You can now launch apps from Siri. So you can say launch settings, or start mail, or open Safari, and Siri will automatically launch those apps for you. And that works with any app that's on your phone. Very nice addition. You can also post information to Twitter and Facebook using Siri now. Simply telling Siri to tweet and then say what you want to send to Twitter, or post to Facebook and telling Siri what you want to be posted. You can also post to Twitter and Facebook from the Notification Center. There are now buttons in the Notification Center for Twitter and Facebook. You have to configure Twitter and Facebook in settings for these to be available, for them to be available in the Notification Center. But once they're configured, they show up. The weather widget has been updated and now gives more information. And if you have VoiceOver set to speak hints, when you check the weather widget now, if you let VoiceOver continue to speak, it will give you not only the current weather, but it will give you the weather for the next 5 days. This is a nice addition to the weather widget, in addition to giving you a little more information about the particular day. Works really well. There is now the ability to use FaceTime over cellular networks, although at least with AT&T, only certain plans support FaceTime over cellular. But with the new front-facing camera on the iPhone 5, FaceTime is very nice, and it's nice that it is possible to use it over cellular data. The phone app has gotten some love this time with a couple of really great new features, and it's been a while since much has really been done to the phone app, so I'm glad to see this. But now, phone has a Do Not Disturb feature, which when turned on, it prevents calls and messages from coming through. You can set it up so that you can have certain calls come through. For example, you can set it up so that if someone who's in your favorites list call, that will come through. You can also set it up so that Do Not Disturb will automatically kick in at a particular time and turn itself off at a particular time. So if you want Do Not Disturb to be in effect from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m., you can set it up that way. It's a very nice feature. I'm glad to see it. There's also a new callback option that works great with VoiceOver. When a call comes in, you can now choose to send that person a text message, either a custom message or a canned message saying something like, "I'll call you back later," or "I can't talk right now," or something like that. Or you can also have the phone send you a reminder to return this call in an hour, or return this call when I get home, or however you want to set up the reminder. But you can just simply select these options instead of answering the call at that moment. And so that's a very nice feature to have. Mail has also been improved in a few ways. There's now a VIP mailbox, which stands for Very Important Person. You can add selected people from your contacts list to this mailbox, and then you'll be alerted when you get mail from those particular people. It's really to draw your attention to that particular email so that it doesn't go ignored. And they've added a nice feature for VoiceOver users in Mail, which is called the Actions Control. And now there's a rotor setting when you're in Mail called Actions. And when you flick down in this setting, you are presented with a delete button, so you can delete an email message very easily. If you see a message that you know you don't want, you can simply flick down and the Actions rotor will put you on delete, and you can double tap and the message will be deleted. And this is a lot easier than the way it was to go into edit mode and delete email messages that way. I understand this action control is available in some of the other apps, but so far I've only seen it in Mail. Also in Mail, you can now have multiple signatures. So you can have a separate signature for each of your email accounts, if you like, with different information in each signature. And that's a nice touch. They've also made a nice change to Safari in iOS 6, which is called iCloud Tab Syncing. So if you have a web page open on your MacBook Pro, for example, and you switch over to your iPhone or iPad running iOS 6, you can go to a section in tabs in Safari which will show you the same open tab that's on your Mac. So it's just a way of sharing information more easily between the two devices. Also, in the Utilities menu of Safari, you can now select from a menu of items that lets you share a particular web page or a link to a web page. You can share it on Twitter, share it on Facebook, share it in email, things like that. The Find My Friends app has been updated to give you more flexibility. You can now set it up so that, for example, when a person leaves a particular location, you can be notified, things like that, which might be really nice for being notified when your child leaves school or something like that. The Clock app has gotten a little bit of attention in that now you can use a custom song for your alarm. So any of the music that's in your iTunes music app can now be chosen as your wake-up alarm. So this is a nice little bonus to the clock. And I want to mention a few things that have been moved around on the settings screen that I haven't mentioned so far. Location Services is now under Privacy. The Do Not Disturb setting is now on the main settings screen. Brightness and wallpaper have been combined into one menu item on the main screen. The Store Control has been renamed to iTunes and App Store. The Photos Control has been renamed to Photo and Camera Control. And there are, of course, now buttons to set up Twitter and Facebook on the main setup screen. In the general screen, the network control has been changed to cellular control. And inside the cellular control, there's now a new cellular option that allows apps to be used over the cell network. There's now a VPN, virtual private network, selection on the general screen. So it's been separated out into its own control. So now let's talk a little more about some of the accessibility options that are available in iOS 6. For the first time, all of the accessibility features can be used at the same time. For example, low vision users can now use Apple's large print magnification facility called Zoom in conjunction with VoiceOver. So you can use VoiceOver and Zoom at the same time now, and that has not been possible before. There's a new feature in accessibility called Guided Access, and this allows you to do a couple things. It allows you to restrict a person to one particular screen, so one particular app, for example, and it allows you to lock the home button so that it will not take you out of this app that you have locked someone into. And this is designed to make it easier for someone who is autistic to stay within a particular app, or it could be great for a child or perhaps even an elderly person who gets confused or who you want to have limited use of an app, but who you don't want them to exit out into the main part of the iPhone or iPad. I will say that for VoiceOver users, the triple click home button can be set to activate and deactivate guided access. As of course you know, triple click home can also be set to turn on and off voiceover. So if you're going to use guided access, you want to go in and make sure that you set triple click home to guided access so that you don't accidentally have it set to voiceover, tap it thinking you are turning guided access off, and you ultimately turn voiceover off, and then you have no way of turning it back on because you're locked at that point inside guided access. So you want to make sure that you have triple click home set to guided access when you're using guided access and set to voiceover the rest of the time. They've also added a feature to triple click home which lets you set the speed at which you need to click the home button 3 times. There are 3 optional speeds there: a default, a slow, and a very slow one. And when you test out this option and you change it, the phone will pulse or vibrate 3 times at the speed at which you need to press the home button. So this is very nice for anyone who has difficulty clicking the home button quickly. You can slow it down and still have it accomplish the same thing that it normally would when you triple click it. iOS 6 now has the ability to use Bluetooth to connect to certain types of hearing aids. And while I haven't tested this myself, I'm excited about it because I think a lot of people who are hearing impaired might really benefit from being able to use Bluetooth hearing aids that work with the phone. There has been a new punctuation option added to the VoiceOver rotor, which allows you to set the level of punctuation. And this is a typical punctuation granularity setting that's available in most screen readers, but it hasn't been available on the VoiceOver rotor before. So if you turn this option on in rotor settings, you can simply twist the rotor to punctuation and flick up and down to change the level of punctuation that is spoken. There's something in accessibility called assistive touch. And assistive touch is an item that allows you to use custom gestures to perform certain activities. And this is designed for people who have trouble, for whatever reason, doing the standard gestures that Apple has built into the phone. You can set up custom gestures that are easier for you to work with. And for the first time, assistive touch now works in conjunction with VoiceOver. So these options are available to blind iPhone, iPad users who are using VoiceOver. The keyboard has been modified, that is, the on-screen keyboard has been modified a bit in iOS 6 so that VoiceOver users who are using the touch typing mode, which is the mode which allows you to simply lift your finger off of a character to have that character entered, the modifier keys, such as the shift and delete keys, and the key that lets you switch between entering numbers and letters, have been set up now in such a way that you don't have to split tap or double tap on those keys to get them to operate. You simply lift your finger from the modifier key the same way you do with the rest of the keys on the keyboard to activate that key. So, in other words, you locate the shift key and you lift your finger, and the next character that you type will be a capitalized or uppercase character. I actually like this change. It's small, but a significant improvement, making the on-screen keyboard easier to use. I'm really pleased to report that the problems that were in existence with the HIMS devices, the BrailleSense and the BrailleEdge devices, has now been fixed in iOS 6, so the HIMS devices now work really great with iOS 6. So when you connect your iPhone or iPad via Bluetooth to a HIMS device, it will now allow you to control your iOS device from the HIMS unit. And this really works well, and I'm thrilled to have this feature back. By the way, there is a podcast up on AppleViz which demonstrates the use of HIMS devices with the iPhone, including a demonstration of the unique HIMS feature, which is the terminal clipboard, which allows you to type information using the standard HIMS editor and then have that information in one block sent to the iOS device. And that podcast is worth listening to if you are interested in a rather unique feature from HIMS for the iOS devices. There is now a new command with the Bluetooth keyboard that can be used with an iOS device. This is a new voiceover command. It is now possible by pressing VO plus shift plus M, as in mic, to do a double tap and hold equivalent from the keyboard. So if, for example, you want to move an app into a folder, you can locate the app, press VO shift M, hear the double tap and hold sound, then move to the location where you want the app to be in the folder. Press VO shift M again, and the app will be moved into the folder, or a folder will be created if there's not one already that will combine the two apps into a folder. So a lot of people have requested this ability to be possible from the keyboard, and it's now available. Well, those are some of the major changes and features in iOS 6. I'm sure I haven't covered everything. I'm sure I've probably glossed over some things that you might want more information about, but I at least wanted to do this podcast, get this information out there so that you can hear some of my enthusiasm and excitement for the iPhone 5, and so they can hear about some of the new capabilities and features in iOS 6. If you haven't upgraded, I certainly encourage you to update your iPhone 4, 4S, or current iPad or iPad 2 to iOS 6. I don't know whether or not people are having good success upgrading the iPhone 3GS to iOS 6. I know all the features are not available on the 3GS, but in terms of just how well it runs on the 3GS, I really don't know. Unfortunately, iOS 6 is not available for the original iPad, for the iPad 1. It will have to stay at iOS 5. At any rate, I hope this information is helpful to you all. Let me know what you want more of, and I'll be willing to provide it in a future podcast. In the meantime, you can always email me at techdoctor123@gmail.com. Until next time, so long from the Tech Doctor.